Well, praise the Lord, saints. It's good for us to be together this morning. I tell you, we're going to get the hang of this eventually, this whole technology thing. But it's certainly glad that God has allowed us this protection and privilege to come together this morning. If you have your Bibles, go to Psalm, the 137th division of the Psalm. We'll be there this morning for our topic of discussion. A few years ago, I was allowed to go on an evangelistical trip with some brethren to Guyana, South America. It was my first time on a plane, and the plane ride was 6 hours, so we had to deal with that. That was strange. When I got to Guyana, there were people there that looked just like me. I've never been so hot before in my life. It was just so different. We got to the hotel, and the hotel floor was this kind of mauve-looking color. Wasn't very nice, wasn't very pretty. It was just hard concrete, and each bed above it had a canopy. And I said, well, what are the canopies for? To keep the flies and bugs off you, they told me. I said, well, that's something else. The air condition was a wall unit. And for the 14 days I was there, I didn't have a hot shower. Well, breakfast came around. And I was expecting, at that time I was eating meat, so I was expecting sausage and grits and eggs. And we had sardines and rice and some kind of fruit juice, oftentimes. To say the least, I was in a very strange place. It was very different. The first few hours we were there, we met a young man, and we talked to him about the gospel, and he wanted to obey the gospel. And so I was just saying, well, let's go back to the church building and baptize this gentleman. No, we don't do it that way here. We have to go to the creek. And so we walked a few miles to some body of water, and he went down in Jesus' name. He was in a very strange, a very peculiar place. In the 137th division of the Psalm, Israel, God's people, are in a very unique, strange, peculiar place. And in this place, they find themselves broken. They find themselves distraught. They find themselves discomforted and weeping. In book 5 of the Psalm, we have that expression, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And we've sung about it this morning. In book 5 of the Psalms, from Psalm 107 to Psalm 150, that expression appears about 24 plus times. Praise the Lord for this, and praise the Lord for that. Some psalms will even open that way, praise the Lord, and end with praise the Lord. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about praising in a strange land. If you will, turn there again, and we'll start our reading at verse number 1. The Bible says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it, for there those who had carried us away captive asked us to sing a song, and those who plundered us request myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. I want to stop there, and I want to really take on this concept of praising God in a foreign land. Notice the first point in verse number 1. The Bible says, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. Well, remember how the people of God got to this place in the beginning. Because of their disobedience to God, they're taken into captivity, if you will. Go with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet in chapter 29. And notice what God says by the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah, beginning at verse number 4. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 4, beginning, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. I want to stop there. He calls himself the God of Israel. And yet the people themselves would say, perhaps we have many other gods. Remember, they had a problem with idolatry. But yet God still calls them by his name. So notice what it says there. All who were carried away captive, whom I've caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. What does he say? He says, build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. And take wives of your sons and give your daughters husbands. And so that they will bear sons and daughters, that you may increase here and not diminish. And seek peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord for it, for its peace you will have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your advisors whom are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to their dreams which you cause to dream. For their prophecies they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are complete at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. Verse 11, one of the verses we love and oftentimes take out of context a lot. But notice there, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Before they even carried off into captivity, God reminds them, listen, I am your God. And you'll go into captivity. And when you get over into this strange land, don't think it's strange. You build houses and you marry and you have children because you're going to be there for 70 years. But I have a hope and a plan and a future for you. What's the point? I'm going to bring you back to your beloved Zion. I'm going to bring you back to a place of familiarity. And so here the people of God are in captivity by the rivers of Babylon, and there they sat and wept, thinking about the city of David, the city Jerusalem. The question is, why are they by a river? I believe one of the concepts of why they're by the river is very Jewish. And the first concept is this. When there was not a synagogue or a tabernacle anywhere for the people of God to go, they worshiped by the river. Well, how do you know that? Remember in Acts chapter 16, this Lydia in this urban city, she goes, she and her family, and again, there's not a synagogue there in Philippi, and what do? They go there by the river to pray. Well, what's the significance of that? Because cleansing has to take place before you go before God. Or perhaps the man there in John chapter 5 at Bethesda, he's there because he knows that cleansing is associated with water. And so the people of God are there weeping by this river, I believe, to find a sense of normality. We're not home. We're not where we would like to be. But a little sense of normality would be, let's do it like we were at home. Let's go down by the river and let's just sit there and just think of Jerusalem. As they're thinking of Jerusalem, the Bible says they begin to weep. They begin to weep about their circumstance and their condition. But verse number 2, not only do they weep about this situation, the Bible says, we hung our harps upon the widows in the midst of it. Notice here, they hang their harps. So the first point, they're not in Jerusalem. They're in Babylonian captivity. God says, you stay there for the duration and I'll bring you back to the city. They're thinking about Zion. And as they're thinking about Zion, these memories bring them to tears. And what do? In a place that's strange and foreign, a place that's not normal, they hang their harps. When you hang something up, you either hang it up because you're done with it entirely, or you just hung it up for a temporary amount of time to go back and pick it back up. And because of where they are, not only are they going to sit by this brook, if you will, and hang their harps, but notice verse 3, for those who carried us away captive asked for a song, and those who plundered us requested myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. They're being taunted. Hey, you all are God's people, right? Sing us one of those tunes you all sing down there in Jerusalem. And they couldn't. And why couldn't they? They hung their harps. This strange land, this circumstance that they're in, caused them to forget their purpose and their praise to God. As I was studying this, brother, and I've studied Psalm 137 several times, and I've never preached on it. I've always had a struggle in preaching on this because I don't know what to say. But this morning, I think I have the right amount of words to use. These captives have requested myrrh, happiness for us. They want us to be happy, and they want us to sing to them a song of Zion. But we're in a strange land. And because we're in this strange land, we can't sing these songs. So they weep. And not only do they weep, now they find themselves in a place of woe. Listen, they've plundered us. We have nothing. All of our strength, all of our might is gone. We're not happy. How can they request myrrh and happiness out of us in a foreign and a strange land? I submit to you verses 2 and verses 3. The people are actually mocking the saints of God. Hey, sing to us one of those songs. They didn't want to hear the song. I don't think they really want to know the song. I think they're taunting them and mocking them because they know that they're in a strange land. Saints of God, we're in Corona season, if you will. And this is a very strange land. This is a very place we've never perhaps been before. You don't know what to do. You don't know precautions. You don't know how to be safe. They say asymptomatic people aren't that bad, but they come around and say they are that bad. They say you're supposed to wear a mask, and they say you're not supposed to wear a mask. They say it comes from this, and then it doesn't come from that. We don't know. We're in a strange land. People in this world around us are hurting. And this is not the time to hang up your harp. This is not the time to give up your praise. If you don't get anything from the message this morning, realize the first affirmation is that God is still God. And despite being in Jerusalem, in the city of Zion, or despite being in Babylon, God was going to be good to them because he is their God. Amen. I know the thoughts I have concerning you, he tells the people, a future and a hope. Things won't always be this way. And so they find themselves going from weeping to in a woeful type of situation. But notice verse 4 and verse 5. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? How should we do this? We're sad. We're not where we're supposed to be. Things are not normal. And the question I have for you this morning is, how are we to sing the songs of the Lord in a foreign land? Notice their understanding. They call it the Lord's songs. It doesn't matter where you are, these praises, this worship still belongs to God. And so notice verse 5. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth, and I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. My praise, my worship is placed on pause. I'm in a foreign land, and I don't feel like doing what I've been reared to do. I don't feel like worshiping. And so what I'll do is I'll put it on pause and I'll come back to it. You ever been watching something on television? And the TV gives you that natural pause of a commercial and you're just waiting for the commercial to end to get back to your show? Or you're watching something on Netflix and someone calls you and you have to pause it in the anticipation of getting back to where you were. Here it is, the people of God put God on pause because of their circumstance. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? I submit to you, in a foreign land, that's what you ought to be doing, is singing the Lord's song. You're around heathens who don't know your God. You're around people that have no thought of God in their mind. And so if you sing your songs of Zion to them, perhaps you can teach them something about your God. But notice what their resolve is and their determination. Verse 6, if I do not remember you, that is Jerusalem, Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. That I exalted Jerusalem above my chief joy. Notice, how can I forget this skill that I learned, verse 5, in Jerusalem? I want to stop here and ask the question, was praise only for the city of Jerusalem? Could you only praise God in Jerusalem? And the question is, most certainly not. But they learned to be skilled musicians and singers in the strange land. But now they're in a strange land. And so they find themselves in this peculiar situation because of the circumstance. Brethren, circumstances of life are not always favorable. They're not always the best. But something's required of you. And what's required of you, even though these people are being taunted, gladness and myrrh was required of them, even when they didn't feel like it. If we were to be completely honest, sometimes we do things that we just don't feel like doing, but we know we have to do them anyway. Sometimes you're not feeling your best, you're not feeling your greatest, you have low self-esteem perhaps, maybe you have this or that or the other going on. And then you're criticized and you're made to feel bad and this, that, and the other. And sometimes you may get like Jeremiah. I've been talking so much and these people are not listening, so I won't say anything at all. I remember one time growing up, we didn't clean the kitchen well enough. And my mother went and cleaned the kitchen. And after she cleaned the kitchen, she closed the kitchen for a few days. And nothing in the house was going to be made. If she didn't make anything, there was going to be nothing that was going to be made. We learned our lesson. Circumstances should not dictate whether we have this gladness and myrrh that God requires. But notice here, why is Zion so important to them? Well, the first reason I do believe Zion is so important to them, if you were to go to the 132nd division of the Psalm, in verse number 12, notice what is said there in verse if your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies which I shall teach them, their sons shall sit upon your throne forever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. The first reason that Zion is so awesome and that Zion is so important is because that's where God rules from. God dwells there. God chose Zion. But notice in Psalm 110, if you will, Psalm 110, verse number 2, notice what is said there concerning this city of Zion. In 110, verse number 2, notice what the Bible says. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Notice, strength comes from Zion. So strength comes from Zion. God dwells in Zion. God's throne is in Zion. But notice in Psalm, the 9th division, Psalm 9, notice there, if we were to go back to Psalm 9 and verse number 11, notice what the Bible there says. It says in verse number 11, sing praises to the Lord who dwell in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. Praise was ordained in Zion. You let the people of God know who God is, where? From the city of Zion. And so they make a declaration that we will not forget Zion. They hang their harps because they're in a foreign land. They weep. They feel feelings of woe. They're not happy. No gladness, no joy, no myrrh. But notice something changes. And what changes, I do believe, in Psalm 137 is that they remember the promise of God in a strange land. There in verse number 7, remember, O Lord, against the son of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who says, raise it, raise it. It is to its very foundation. O daughters of Babylon, who are to be destroyed, happy the one who repays you as you serve us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock. they go from weeping to woe is me to determination to realizing, hey, we haven't been faithful. But remember our brethren who encouraged the Edomites, who encouraged Babylon to take us over? Listen, I pray that God will be against them. God, remember their deeds. Verse 7. And even Babylon that destroyed us, let them be destroyed. He says, happy the one who repays you as you served us. You're taunting us now. But wait till the shoe is on the other foot. Wait till God turns the table around. And so what do we find here? We find several things that can help us in a strange land. The first thing I want to submit to you this morning, by way of this text, worshiping in a strange land. A very spiritual parallel is that we, God's people, are spiritual people. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Peter calls us pilgrims and sojourners. Perhaps we should learn to praise God in a strange land. Saints, I'm afraid of the things that I see online. I'm afraid of the things I hear, afraid of the conversations. Because those who will wage good warfare would not entangle themselves with the cares and concerns of this world. I'm not saying that we just turn off the world and pay no attention. That's not what I'm saying this morning. But I'm saying don't get so caught up in the here and the now in this strange land that you forget about home. The place you desire to be, the place where the Lord is. You want to get there. Don't get so entangled that we forget about home. The next point is that praise should push us past our circumstance. There's a lady where I preached in Mobile, Sister Ruth Ann Colley. Sister Colley sat opposite side of me in the auditorium. We had four sections. She sat to the very left section. And she would come in on her walker and on her cane. You could see it in her face. She didn't feel good. But she said, I'd rather be in pain here with the saints than be at pain at home. Her circumstance of being sick and in pain didn't just leave her at home. She pushed past that circumstance and was going to give to God what belonged to him. But then the next point is that weeping and woe should force us in the presence of God. Instead of pouting about your situation and wanting normality. And listen, saints, we're good at it, okay? We are good at pouting sometimes. We're good at complaining sometimes. We're really good. No one has to teach us how to do that. We're good at it. But instead of pouting and complaining, let's change that thing around. Let's start praising. Because God promised that he was going to bring these people to Babylon. And he promised that he was going to bring them out. Isn't that awesome? But then the next point is that praise belongs to the Lord. And the question is, what shall we render to the Lord? In verse 4, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land, in a strange land? How? Well, how? Because they belong to him anyway. They belong to God. This is due our God. This is owed to our God. And so praise says, listen, no matter the circumstance, I'm going to yet praise God because it belongs to him anyway. But then praise strengthens us. It gives us strength. You ever been in a situation in life where you felt overwhelmed and perhaps consumed? And you went to the assembly. And that day you went to the assembly, the songs were a little different. They cut you in your heart a little different that day. And maybe you're singing a song and you don't normally do this because you're macho and you can handle your own, but maybe a tear comes and falls down your face. Or maybe there's an invitation song that's sung and you realize I'm not where I ought to be. Don't be found sad when you're supposed to be singing. And that's the challenge. That's the challenge. Don't be sad and don't weep and wail and have that woe is me mentality when you're supposed to be singing and praising God. But then the next point, and the latter point, point five, is that the power of praise turns our hearts from the situation, the circumstance, to the Creator. Instead of looking at, listen, we're in Babylon, these people have treated us bad, our sons have been taken captive, and they've done this and they've done that, and they're making us serve idol gods, and we don't remember Zion. Instead of all that, let's focus back on the Creator. Little focus on the circumstance, and more focus on God, the Creator. So what's the response of praise in a strange land? I believe the response is Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord, even in a strange land. We can do it. Saints, there's so much turmoil in our world. I pray that we as God's people individually could be change agents and people that will stand up for what is right in the days of adversity. But the truth of the matter is, I'm a stranger here. I'm a pilgrim here. I have dual citizenship. And I'm ready for the Lord to return. This morning, if you're outside of Christ, you're not prepared to meet the Lord. Jesus came in the form of flesh and lived as man to experience the things that we've experienced. The writer of Hebrews says, but yet he was without sin. Jesus Christ loved us so much that he gave himself up as an offering for us that we could be saved. Sin separates us from God. Sin turns God's face from us. And Jesus came to reconcile us back to God. And so in the way of reconciliation, he offers his body up on the cross. He dies and he's buried in a new tomb. He's raised from the dead on the third day according to the scriptures. He's seen by Peter and the 12 and at 500 at one time to prove that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Believe on the Christ of the Bible this morning. Repent of your sins. What does it mean to repent? Repent is changing your mind and your action. And repentance, I always say, shows fruit. If you were doing this, you don't do that anymore. If you were going this way, you don't go that way anymore. You turn. You make that 180. Then you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God. And then we have the obligation to baptize you in Jesus' name. What does baptism do? Well, the first thing it does is the answer of a clean conscience towards God. It cleans your conscience. It washes away your sins. It adds you to the body of the church. Peter says it does now save. Baptism does all those things by faith. Obey the gospel this morning by being baptized in Jesus' name. Or maybe you're a Christian this morning and you find yourself in the situation of these people in Psalm 137. You're in a strange land and you've hung up your harp. Go back and get it. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your focus. If you have anything this morning, we stand as we have a song of invitation to encourage you.
Almost persuaded.
Now to